There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Guest Michelle Rosen. And I've got to give credit to Gary Franchi for having introduced me to her. I told Gary we were wanting to do some of the most interesting stories that don't get covered in the whatever happened to sort of category of stories. And he immediately told me about Michelle Rosen. She is the daughter of Tylenol murder victim Mary Lynn Reiner. Michelle Rosen was a child when her mother collapsed and died, and she witnessed her mother's death by cyanide poisoning. She has also had to suffer from learning about what media coverage is like of the Tylenol murders and the early chasing of false leads and attacking innocent people. Anyway, there was a result of this, of course, was the protection of Tylenol manufacturer Johnson & Johnson from liability. And according to the book, The Tylenol Mafia by Scott Bartz, listen to this, failed to illuminate an investigation corrupted by well-connected corporate executives and politically motivated government officials who buried the truth inside a shadow legal system inaccessible to everyday Americans. That statement gives me chills. Michelle Rosen, thank you so much for joining us in the Power Hour today.
Well, thank you for having me, Joyce.
That statement is huge. The involvement of the media and the government in covering up all of this. All right, let's go back to the early 1980s and when you lost your mother and you had to learn this terrible story of what they told you, and then later on when you learned the truth about what really happened.
Yes, well, the story, the lie still goes on. I just happened to uncover it. A partner of mine did, an ex Johnson & Johnson employee did, and brought it to light to me. And since then, for six solid years, I've done nothing but uncover more and more and more lies. The depth of corruption here is absolutely unbelievable. But when you realize that a pharmaceutical company or any corporation in America can literally hijack the justice system, have the government workers from the FBI, the FDA, we've got this going back to Reagan. We've got governors of Illinois involved in this, working to save the corporation from any liability whatsoever and come out actually looking like the victim as the victims themselves. And that's words that the corporation uses.
Now, Michelle, Gary Franchi here. Thanks for joining us on the Power Hour today. It's always great to speak with you. You know, I've known you for many years, and some of our viewers and listeners out there may need to have a little refresher on the story.
Yes.
Could you help the listeners at home understand what exactly took place in the early 80s when the cyanide was discovered?
Okay, we'll go with the false story first. We'll go with what's still promoted to this day, 32 years later, on the news. Seven people in the Chicago area bought extra-strength Tylenol. They came home, and they died, one after another, all in the same day. And it was the all in the same day that triggered authorities to realize that there was something more than heart attacks and brain aneurysms and everything these people were getting written off of. They had day one, FBI swooped in. They discovered it's the Tylenol. FBI swooped in, took over the murder case. They had no jurisdiction in that area whatsoever. It was a local thing just because of the fact that product tampering had never happened before. So it was a misdemeanor. Nobody had ever imagined cyanide being put on your store shelves. Well, when the FBI came in that day and swooped in, they had already had their men in place. Johnson & Johnson already knew they had a problem in distribution. So they had all their power men waiting for this to actually hit the shelves. And when it did, and the hysteria hit, this got more coverage than the JFK assassination. So this was huge for everyone. Everyone was paranoid and living in fear. They had labeled it as being a madman going store to store. And just because these seven people that died going around the Chicago area stores and putting these bottles on. unfortunately, we all believe that story.
We got to go to a break. We've got a three-minute break coming up. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Michelle Rosen is our guest. Gary Franchi sitting in with me, Joyce Riley. We'll be right back after this three-minute break. Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like your green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you. You.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jerry. Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait. No!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.
By now, you've heard about bitcoins. But did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning bitcoins or trying to make money in the bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Because at BidBit.co, you can receive bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. It's 8 minutes after the hour. We're talking to Gary with Gary Franchi today. Been on radio and television a long time, known for a lot of good things. And we'll talk more about his history and what he's been involved with, especially in freedom to fascism. But today we're talking to Michelle Rosen, a story he brought to me, thank goodness, to find out what happened in the Tylenol murders. So, Gary, since you've covered this story a lot on your television program, go ahead and let's continue this discussion and find out what happened and who was involved.
Thanks, Joyce. Yeah, this is really a remarkable case, and it's really a textbook example of how the media and government come together to manipulate a story for their own interest. And Michelle Rosen, whose mother was a victim in this case, I believe, and based on the information I've received, is the smoking gun in this entire investigation, the investigation that has been skewed and distorted by government officials and, of course, the media and corporations. So, Michelle, we're talking about the distribution of the cyanide in the Tylenol and how it got there. Of course, the official story comes out, and they say, well, it's a lone nut going store to store, and they were just simply opening up bottles and dropping the cyanide into it. Now, tell us what happened. Your mother, of course, and like I said, the smoking gun in this whole situation being ignored by officials. Tell us how this whole situation unfolded.
Okay. Well, all seven victims all died of extra-strength Tylenol. My mother is the smoking gun because of the fact that she had purchased a bottle of regular-strength Tylenol but died of extra-strength Tylenol poisoning. She had a number of extra-strength capsules in her bottle, and what following the distribution channel and seeing how this could have worked without any recall whatsoever of regular strength. Their mind was not on regular strength whatsoever. So how did my mom die of extra strength Tylenol? What are they doing in there? Well, following the distribution channel and all of the capsules that are involved by lot numbers and everything else, we discovered my mom had just given birth 6 days before she died.
Oh, wow.
And when she was left the hospital, which back then was a 5-day stay, you know, maternity leave happened after 5 days. On the sixth day, she had had regular strength Tylenol, bought regular strength Tylenol, but had taken the unit dose package from the hospital and put the rest into her regular strength bottle, you know, a little blister pack you'd get from the hospital. So that is the one part that they will never tell you, because the lone madman going store to store cannot possibly work.
Okay, so let me take it back for 1 second. Now, you just stated that your mother received blister pack extra strength Tylenol from the hospital itself, and that Tylenol was in fact the laced cyanide Tylenol. Is that correct?
Yes, it has to be that way. Investigators came in and stole everything from our house, and they will not admit this. But this is the only way, and that hospital was in the same distribution chain as the rest of the victims, and the store that she bought the regular strength Tylenol was not.
So the reason, for clarification for the listeners out there, the reason that your mother is the smoking gun is simply because the lone madman going store to store would have had to break into a hospital pharmacy, a secure pharmacy, to insert the tainted Tylenol. Is that correct?
Yeah. Correct.
Wow.
Correct. And that would not work for their story. That would collapse the distribution channel. It would uncover all the unsafety measures that they do not take there. And it would blow the whole thing out. Johnson & Johnson would lose their market share. They would be liable for the victims' families. And that was not going to happen. So year after year, they told this story. And the whole distribution channel is the thing they leave out. And if you look at that and you see that every bottle came in through the same warehouse with a legitimate suspect that worked there, who is known to have cyanide, who admitted that he did it, and it all came in through the same warehouse in Norris Park, Illinois.
I recall being very young when this was going on, because I live in the Chicago area, as you know, Michelle, and the fear and the terror that was gripping the entire northern Illinois area. Now, you mentioned that they knew that there was somebody that at Johnson & Johnson that admitted it?
It wasn't somebody at Johnson & Johnson. It would still be in their distribution chain. It was at that warehouse, the dock worker, that came into a Northside Chicago bar just a week after the murders. And he had a bag of white powder, and he was shaking it at people. And after a few drinks, he decided to tell everybody, you know, I can kill you with this stuff. Well, with a tip-off from the bartender, and realizing when the Chicago police came, he had an outstanding warrant. They ended up raiding his apartment anyway, and they found capsule-making machines, books on how to kill people with cyanide. He was a very angry person. He had 2 one-way tickets to Thailand ready for the next week. To me, that's a legitimate suspect. I'm not going to say he did it. I didn't see him do it. But all
where's,
of the evidence
where is he
at
now?
Least, he's dead. He's dead now. After our investigation started, and after an ex-Johnson & Johnson employee, my old partner, ended up sending an email to the FBI letting them know that he had some information that might help solve the murders. He had no idea what door he was opening when he did that. 3 days later, Roger Arnold is his name, and Roger Arnold was dead. So
if
that worked, I have no idea. That's a whole story in itself.
Now, if your investigation with your Johnson & Johnson whistleblower uncovered that Roger Arnold was allegedly the Tylenol murderer. How come the FBI and Johnson & Johnson did not pursue that lead? What is your belief?
My belief is, well, he's the legitimate suspect. Again, I don't want to wrongfully accuse somebody, but everything lands at the place he worked and what he had on him at the time of the murders. If they accused him, that would put him in the chain of distribution, which would then leave Johnson & Johnson completely liable. Johnson & Johnson is liable from the moment of manufacturing all the way up to you purchase until it gets on that store shelf. That is their liability. So this madman in the store theory works perfectly because Johnson & Johnson can't control some guy coming into your store in a trench coat placing, you know, these replacing old bottles with new bottles full of cyanide. So it's perfect, and it still works out great to them. This is very hard for people to conceive that this much corruption can be going on, but I tell you, once you get a full picture of the whole thing, it all makes sense, and all of the antics and all the circus and all the media and everything that's happened along the way, it truly makes sense to work out this way. There's no other facts. There's so many facts in this way, and the only fact of their way, the lone madman going store to store, the only bit of evidence that anybody, all these investigators, all these years, is that people went to the store, they bought Tylenol, and they died. That's the only bit of evidence. They've uncovered and released new tips, but they've all been garbage. They've never led to anything. It's just to keep it going, to keep the documents sealed, and make sure that the public does not see these documents. As you know, the FBI has now given up jurisdiction back to local, but all of these years, these documents have been sealed, and nobody can see them. Now, if you really want to solve this, why would you keep documents sealed? It's not hurting your dead investigation. Why not let the family see it? Why not let the public see it? Wouldn't you think somebody had new leads to help? Well, I've attempted giving them leads, and it goes nowhere. Nobody wants to hear this.
And I want to ask you this, because we did speak last night, and you mentioned that the 25-year seal that was on these documents was eventually removed. And then, of course, through the Freedom of Information Act, you and your investigative friend from a whistleblower, Johnson & Johnson, decided to start submitting these FOIA requests. What immediately happened after the FOIA requests?
Well, Scott was on it already. And when he had sent these FOIA requests, they had already had the reactivated case in place. They needed to reactivate it. So this was already well in play before we came on the scene. And right then, at the so it filled the public in that Freedom of Information Act allows you to fill out a form, lets you get the information that you're asking about. When that was done, the 25-year after it's cold for 25 years, those documents, if they reactivate it in any way, they could say anybody's the murderer right now. Anything that shows that they're working on it allows those documents to be sealed up again until it's dead for 25 years. Well, all it takes is just a couple of those, and everyone in the public, it's so, such an old case, nobody cares anymore.
So basically, by reactivating the case, they were able to shut down active FOIA requests. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. So you, me, and anybody else could not know anything about any of their investigation whatsoever to see what they found, what they did, what they're doing. I continuously call and send letters, and it's always, we can't tell you that.
So you mentioned that that the FBI has now recently released their jurisdiction and put it back to local. What's the significance to that?
It would be fantastic if it was left to local. It would be fantastic if they weren't groomed for the position in the suburbs of Chicago and Chicago itself. It would have been fantastic because local would not owe a corporation anything. That influence wouldn't be there. So FBI has already done everything they can to destroy. And one very important point to show the actual depth of corruption here is that when the FBI swooped in day one, they removed when the millions of bottles were pulled off the shelves, not recalled. That's what the public thinks. It was pulled off the shelves out of fear. People were refusing to sell it. that the FBI actually turned over millions of bottles. All of that evidence that could have told us exactly where it came from was all turned over to the liable corporation. Johnson & Johnson was actually able to take all these millions of bottles. They tested less than 1% of them, and they destroyed the rest.
Okay, we got to go to a break. We've got a four-minute break coming at us right now. We're going to come back, and are you ready for this? Why was the name Ted Kaczynski involved in this case, ladies and gentlemen? We'll be back with Michelle Rosen, Gary Franchi, and myself. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. This is Joyce Riley. We'll be right back in 4 minutes.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
If the IRS has garnished your paycheck or seized money from your bank account, you need to get professional tax help now. Fast action is required to put a halt to these aggressive IRS collection tactics. You can count on the knowledgeable team of tax professionals at Wall & Associates. With over 30 years of experience, Wall & Associates has settled the tax problems of thousands of taxpayers for a small fraction of what they owed. For a free face-to-face consultation, call 1-800-425-4610 to put a wall between you and the IRS. 1-800-425-4610, or look for us on the web at wallandassociates.net. We solve tax problems. If you hire Wall & Associates today, you'll never have to talk to the IRS again. To stop the levies and seizures today, take action now. Call Wall & Associates at 1-800-425-4610. Wall & Associates, 1-800-425-4610.
Based on actual cases, results may vary. Not a solicitation for legal services.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins, but did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoins. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us. If you're just joining us, let me tell you, you've missed an outstanding interview. It'll be available online, of course, at GCN Live, LIVE.com, or you can go to the Power Hour. You can order a copy of the CD of the third hour, of the second hour of the program. You probably want to get the third hour also. It's only $8 if you want to get the second and third hour. You get all 3 hours for $10. It's amazing how many people get these CDs and pass them out. We're talking to Michelle Rosen today, and that is Gary Franchi and I are talking to Michelle Rosen. She is the daughter of Tylenol murder victim Mary Lynn Reiner, who had just given birth to her fourth child 6 days earlier. And at the tender age of 8 years old, Michelle had to deal with this and heard a story that later changed later on in her life, which we're going to talk about. I want to know if you can talk about why the name Ted Kaczynski came up in this issue, and also the media relationship between J&J, well, the media and J&J, however much you can tell us about that, because I find that absolutely astounding. So, Michelle, just curiosity, why Ted Kaczynski mentioned in this case?
Because it was easy. Ted Kaczynski was a one-day circus that was a Tylenol from the May of 2011. Scott's book was about to come out, and that was a given that they needed to continuously keep this active. And after all these years that it was dead, absolutely zero talking about the case except for on anniversaries, once ex Johnson & Johnson employee came on the scene and started digging around, I joined him in 2009, and the book was about to come out. They needed to continuously keep it active to keep the document sealed. And that was May 19th, 2011, when they announced that Ted Kaczynski could be the murderer. It would be easy to believe, but it was not, they didn't think it was going anywhere. They just did that to keep it fresh and then create more stress for the families, of course, because that's what they do, is continuously re-mention this case these days. It's actually mentioned more now with leaves now than it was back then, because they need to keep those documents sealed. So,
yeah, Michelle, I recall when you called me up, you said, Gary, you're not going to believe this. They just pulled out the Unabomber, of all people, to talk about this. And I remember they actually had video footage of him coming out of the prison. They were going to do DNA testing on him, and you and I were discussing it, and we were just shocked that they would bring out this, you know, this big keyword, this scary guy from his shed, and try to point a target on his back. But of course, that lead didn't go anywhere.
No, it was only a 1 day circus. That's what they do now. Is all about a new lead and a fingerprint. And it's not even possible to get any fingerprints of what little evidence they do have now because of all the handling of these capsules over the years. You know, back then they didn't have forensics. So everyone was non-gloved in handling all these things, from reporters to investigators. So to come out and say the Unabomber or anyone else, if they came today and said they had a fingerprint from a suspect, it is all a lie, because it's not even possible to get those at this point. It has been manhandled for all of these years.
Going back to the distribution channel, right immediately after this event took place, what happened to the bottles? How did the bottles change? And what is the significance? There was another death that occurred shortly thereafter that was not in the Chicago area. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Well, unbelievably, which I don't know if you know anything about manufacturing or bottling or repackaging, but I would think that it would take some time to come up with a safety seal. The safety seal for all consumable products that we have today all came from this Tylenol murder. So within 5 weeks after the murders, the safety seal had been invented, all the machinery was in place, and Johnson & Johnson was able to release their beloved Tylenol back out onto the market just 5 weeks later with this triple seal. And then you have boxes. They're in boxes now, and they're glued, and everything is totally safe, people. Go ahead and buy our product. It's completely safe. And how you did that in 5 weeks, I have no idea, but that's another story. In 1986, there was a young 23-year-old woman in Bronxville, New York. She died of extra-strength Tylenol cyanide poisoning. Well, how did this happen? We've got triple-sealed packaging now. We've got it's everything is intact. And the thing that blows this whole distribution thing out of the water, and you know this is how it had to have happened, is her death. Because now you've got two bottles. One was found in her home, and then there's another bottle, and everything was completely intact. The safety tools it was not tampered with.
I think we need to explain the distribution issue in this after the break. I want to come back after this three-minute break and talk about distribution because, ladies and gentlemen, this is the crux of the whole thing, along with the media. What was involved and what does that mean, distribution? We'll be back after this three-minute break with the Power Hour. Stay tuned. Michelle Rosen is our guest. This is Joyce Riley with Gary Franchi. We'll be right back.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN. It's a terrifying thought. You're trapped somewhere without a radio and no access to GCN shows. A doctor's office. The DMV. Your mother-in-law's.
Come on, stay for dinner.
That's what makes the newly redesigned GCN Live app a true lifesaver. Listen to your favorite GCN hosts and programming on your smartphone, wherever you are. Download yours free on iTunes or Google Play. The new GCN Live app. Don't leave home without it.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order.
Welcome back to Power Hour. Thank you for joining us, caring about your world, and supporting the Power Mall. And that's how we stay in business. That's how we are able to bring you stories like this. Never heard this. I cannot believe that it took Gary Franchi coming to Versailles, Missouri, to tell me about the story that I thought I understood. I thought I knew it was some bad guy, some crazy person who snuck cyanide in the store shelves and put it inside the extra-strength Tylenol. Lo and behold, I'm finding out that Michelle Rosen, who is our guest today, her mother received Tylenol, extra-strength Tylenol, at the hospital after delivering her fourth baby. And she died. She died about a week later after delivering that fourth child. And I appreciate so much her joining us. Let me just remind you that we have Transcendental Physics on special at the Power Mall by Dr. Ed Close. Nature's Mold RX, how to remove mold from your house so that you don't have to go and get those $10,000 a day guys to come in and do it for you. Natural Medicine DVD is on special. And remember the FR300 Emergency Crank Radio. It's AM/FM weather band. And I hear we're going to be needing it tomorrow here in the Power Hour area because of tornadoes. It has a portable radio and flashlight, emergency flashing LED and siren. And the magnesium is on special along with Purium. So take advantage of getting those by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829 and ask them of all the books that are on special too at the Power Mall. And if you purchase $25 or more, you will get a free book, either one of our guest books or a book that I've used for research. You will get a book free if you just ask for it and ask for which books are available. Give us a call. If you have unlimited minutes, 573-378-6049. 573-378-6049. Like I said, we're talking to Michelle Rosen today, myself along with Gary Franchi. And Michelle, this subject of distribution, a lot of people I don't think understand what you mean by distribution. Why does this play such a huge role in this story?
Well, the distribution channel is incredibly complicated, not anything that we can say exactly where these things go in this short of a time. If you read The Tylenol Mafia, Marketing Murder in Johnson & Johnson, it's a book by Scott Bartz, a former Johnson & Johnson employee who lays this all out. You can get that on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, The Tylenol Mafia. He explains in depth the difference, all the distribution channels and repackaging, raft jobbers, a job that people goes into a warehouse, different people distribute to different stores, and it's their job to just keep everything fulfilled. It's not, Tylenol is not manufactured at Johnson & Johnson and put on a truck and delivered to your store. There's this whole distribution channel that endless amounts of things can happen in the meantime. Not just Tylenol, your cereal, your anything. And that's how this story is so covered up. They don't want you to realize this distribution channel is so deep that it could literally happen with any product that you purchase. The safety seal does not save you from that. So if you are taking, if you're manufacturing something, it's going to endless warehouses and things. There's a lot of room for, whether it's a disgruntled employee, it could be honest mistakes. It doesn't have to be a criminal thing for things to happen along the way.
And okay, let me just interject here. Let me just interject that the distribution channel, what we're talking about here is there's a whole bunch of things that go into everything probably that you see a list of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever ingredients in something. Well, those come from different distribution channels. And what she's talking about here is some type of internal problem that J&J had, Johnson & Johnson, an internal problem, as opposed to some crazy kook or Ted Kaczynski or whomever, or, you know, Mac the Knife or whoever, got to the shelves and put cyanide in the item. So what she is saying is basically it had to be some type of internal problem, and I mean, which killed these seven people, and as a result of that, they have wanted to keep this quiet and don't want to pay the amount of monies that they would have to pay if the world knew the truth about this.
Yes, if they would have stopped selling capsules that moment and gone to caplets and gone to a tablet, we could have saved many people when they knew they had a problem in distribution. It was the capsules that killed people, not the bottle.
And in a previous segment, we were about to begin talking about the media connection. And to dig into that topic, Michelle, when I discovered it, when I opened up the Tylenol Mafia and I spoke with Scott, I was blown away at the textbook method that the media was used to condition the people to accepting the story. Michelle, in your investigation, can you explain the connection that Johnson & Johnson has? Now, we always see on TV the pharmaceutical commercials. You know, it may cause blindness, a heart attack, you know, dementia if you take this, but don't worry, you're not going to be depressed anymore, right? We see those commercials. That connection is very, very overt. But the connection we're talking about here is very different. Can you explain?
Well, The CEO of Johnson & Johnson at the time, James Burke, his brother was well into, his family came from a massive media conglomerate anyway. So his brother, who owned Capital Cities, they had merged with ABC and Disney. That man had a child, and he owned Comcast. There's so many other, NBC, they merged with that, Ted Turner. You've got all of these, all in the same family of presidents, board of directors, all of that, all throughout all of the media at the time. So how are you supposed to believe the news when the news is there to protect the liability of, you know, the board of directors saying, here, we've got to do this? You've got so many media ties all in the same family owning and running.
So Johnson & Johnson, Michelle, Johnson & Johnson, the president of Johnson & Johnson, what was his relationship direct to the media?
The CEO of Johnson & Johnson, brothers and sons, owned several media outlets.
Now, do you believe...
Disney, NBC, Comcast, yes.
Do you believe that the CEO, the president of Johnson & Johnson, handed talking points to the media?
Well, I wasn't there, but wouldn't you assume that they were doing this? This is what all the media was saying. You've got total protection here. The story to keep fear in people over a madman and then being able to release this with a safety seal and calm everybody down without showing, because any legitimate reporter, any reporter would have gone into this distribution channel. The locals were on the distribution channel trail. That was the big thing they were doing immediately. But when the FBI swooped in, took all of the evidence away, you could not link the distribution, and then you've got the media who's just parroting the story that they've been told by investigators who were already groomed for the position.
So you just said the locals. The locals, meaning the local investigators, were already hot on the distribution trail?
Yeah, that was mentioned several times right in the beginning. The old archives, when you read old articles, they will say that, yes.
Now, what about the day before the murders? There was a significant event where cyanide was discovered. Can you go back to that very first day?
Sure. It's the day before the murders on September 28th, early morning. This proves, again, that this is a distribution issue. There were two Kane County sheriffs who were stopping off for a 3 a.m. Breakfast break from work. They had stumbled upon several boxes and hundreds of capsules of extra-strength Tylenol strewn across a hotel parking lot. They were coming into the diner there. There was a box labeled extra-strength Tylenol. There were capsules everywhere. They did not think anything of it, obviously. They thought it was a reverse drug issue. They thought that somebody had taken these boxes, taken out the acetaminophen, and possibly used the acetaminophen for being maybe a filler, cocaine or whatever drug they were making. But when the sheriffs had examined them for a moment, they had parked right next to it. When they touched them, they went into the diner, and they fell ill. Both of them ended up being hospitalized and could not work anymore. Well, I don't know if you know anything about cyanide, but you don't have to just ingest it. You can touch it. You can breathe it.
And oh, really?
Through your skin. It can go in through your skin. So here you have, just the day before, there you go. Had they known what they had stumbled upon, this whole thing could have been saved, but they didn't. So it wasn't until after the fact, the next day, the story broke. Friday, they went back, and, you know, there's only a few crushed capsules. Somebody had come and cleaned it up. It was most of it was gone. I find that to be absolutely incredible, because this is another story, yet again, that is kept from the public. The media does not emphasize it, yet they're emphasizing, you know, the Unabomber or things like that now. But why aren't you talking about that? Isn't that the key to say, here we have distribution boxes, you know, 12 packs and things like that, sitting out in a parking lot? These sheriffs become ill, and that's all forgotten about?
It's a.
I want to exaggerate something else too. When you have the media is out for their best interest. They're out for their advertisers. The media does not owe me, you, anything. You can turn off the TV and never watch any of this stuff. So just do that. They don't owe you anything. Whatever they try to get away with to push you to buy or see or believe, that's your problem if you're watching it. What I have a problem with in this case is that the FBI and the FDA, who are hired branches of government to protect us, are the guilty ones here. Not only did the FBI turn over all of the evidence to the liable corporation and ruined it for all of us and justice in our families and to keep the public safe, but you also have the FDA, who the Food and Drug Administration, isn't their job to keep us protected? Well, you have the commissioner at the time, Arthur Hall Hayes. He was labeled the commissioner. He exonerated just 2 weeks after the murder, exonerated Johnson & Johnson of any liability whatsoever.
Oh,
for this.
Wow.
Now, how in the world can our commissioner of Food and Drug Administration do that when you couldn't possibly even have a thorough investigation of one factory, one plant at all in a matter of 2 weeks?
Michelle, how did you learn that he had exonerated the J&J? How did you learn that? Was that a news release?
That's everywhere. That was a given that he had spoken and released them of any liability, completely exonerating them just 2 weeks after the murder, which is absolutely irresponsible. So you have, I'm not really sure, you've got people like him and others in the FBI who truly were on a mission to save Johnson & Johnson. You have other investigators in this that I think it's overwhelming neglect and ignorance in this, you know, incompetence. You do have a few of those, but I truly believe that knowing what was going on, all of the things that were going on here, it's a given that that these people were placed, they took this job over, and they were doing this on a mission to save Johnson & Johnson, and still do. And that's what saddens me most. You do have, you know, 7 known victims. We've uncovered that if this happened in distribution, like it had to have, the chances of this happening to 7 victims all in one day, your chances are pretty slim that all of this could happen in one day to just 7 victims with 8 bottles. So we do know that there had to be many, many more people that had to have died from this. I will find them. This is my life goal, to uncover, get these documents unsealed and uncover people for the fraud that they are. But that sad thing is 32 years later, they still can't let it go. They still keep bringing out a new wrongfully accused, a new story to go along with this, to keep themselves as innocent as possible. And that's the sick thing to me, is not the killer himself. It's the ongoing lies, and you just won't let it go.
Michelle, I want to ask you about you know, you're a family member. You're an affected party here. How are some of the other families responding to this information? Obviously, it's painful, but you are the most vocal person who's out there. You're doing interviews like this. Even the Daily Herald, a local newspaper here, has interviewed you as well. How are some of the local families responding to your information?
Well, they're very, very private, most of them. I have opened up, and some have met with me, very much where it's, you have my thumbs up, go get them. I appreciate this, but they want to have nothing to do with it. If you can understand what the victim's family members have gone through for 32 years, it's because of all the circus, because of all the, it was a huge story back then and still is in the Chicago area. But most people want to have nothing to do with it. They've heard enough. It's been too long, and no, but nothing is solved. So I do have their, I guess, thumbs up in the whole thing with, and many. I haven't talked to all of them. Most people have, you know, hermited themselves away from this and never want to speak of it again. And I'm pretty sure that the only thing that victims' family members want to hear is that the only thing they want to hear is not about, you know, I've uncovered this guy's link to here, is have you found him? And it's not possible at this point to, you know, actually solve the case because of all the evidence destroyed and, with the sealed documents. So, this is all, you know, speculation at this point. It all adds up this way, and there are many, many facts and evidence that prove, the way that we're speaking about it.
Now, what about Johnson & Johnson? Surely they're not happy about you speaking out.
I'm sure. I have no idea what they're thinking or doing. But I do know that, you know, I am not welcome anymore on mainstream media. I was embraced in the beginning. But they only want to know about the 8-year-old girl who watched her mother die in the kitchen. That's what they want to hear. Once I started with the actual story and facts, and knowing the relationship between the media and this corporation, I was unwelcome anymore to speak about it this way. I can't be bringing these sorts
of things. So even now, the mainstream media, which once embraced you, is still turning their back on anything that opposes the official story from Johnson & Johnson.
Yes, and I have gone to people that I thought would be wanting this story and thinking that it's a huge break, but unfortunately, they're unable, you know, to do that. So what are you supposed to do? It only confirms it even more that they don't want to speak about this. Now, when I went to local police that have the case now, I say, you know, what are you doing with the case? What are you going on? I've handed you so many leads. Just prove us wrong. Just prove this wrong. And the only thing they could say is, it's not legit. It has no merit. You know, those are the things that they could say.
But Michelle, on what grounds are they able to make these types of statements?
You could just say that. You can, in today's world, in today's law enforcement world, they can just say, we're working on it. We can't release any of that information. This is all secret because it's below their cover.
Always secret. We got to go to a break. We got a 3-minute break. We'll be right back with the Power Hour. Stay tuned.
This is Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and I want to introduce you to Numana Storable Foods. This is the first brand of storable foods that I am willing to put my name behind. It's food you can trust. No GMOs, no MSG, no chemical preservatives, and no fake meat. Plus, Numana doesn't just make that claim. They back it up with independent evaluation and testing. Another thing that Numana really does that excites me is the delicious vegetarian options. If your standards are as high as mine, I can confidently tell you that Numana Storable Foods are the quality choice that you've been waiting for. Numana won't just meet your expectations, they will exceed them. And that's why we're thrilled to have the good guys from Numana joining the Power Hour family. Go to powerprepper.com and learn about Numana Storable Foods. You can also call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Numana, the storable food you'll love to eat.
The freeze-dry guy, leader in the preparedness industry for 44 years, is closing his California warehouse. Don't miss out on this huge warehouse sale and receive discounts from 30 to 40% off on the finest Mountain House and Packaway brand freeze-dried and dehydrated foods for long-term food storage or even everyday use. Plus deep discounts on all in-stock survival gear. The freeze-dry guy is offering a wide selection of freeze-dried foods in number 10 cans and even individually packaged entrees. Remember, meats, vegetables, fruits, and long-range patrol rations are the main components for any long-term food storage. This is limited to stock on hand, so hurry and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, as always, free shipping to the lower 48 states. So hurry up and call 866-404-3663 or 530-798-4414. Remember, this is limited to stock on hand. The freeze-dry guy is your choice for survival food in an uncertain world.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
you for joining us. It has been an interesting discussion, an amazing discussion with Michelle Rosen, whose mother, Mary Lynn Reiner, probably played a huge role in bringing about a lot of the corruption, in exposing a lot of the corruption vis-a-vis with the help of her daughter, Michelle Rosen, and so appreciative of her. Scott, I've got some feedback. If you could help me out with that, I'd appreciate it. Her mother died just a few days after giving birth to a baby, so obviously there is no doubt that that Tylenol came from the hospital. And a tragic situation, but hopefully with the work, the incredible work that Michelle Rosen has done, we're going to be able to see something happen as a result of this, because you're not giving up on this. What, Michelle, we've only got about three more minutes in this final segment of the program. What do you want us to know, and where do we go from here on this story?
Well, stop buying your products, first of all. That would be fantastic, to just boycott them completely, of all the lawsuits and all the fraud that they've caused, not just with Tylenol, but they've killed so many people with their products in the first place. But I am, I've got big things going on with this project. After next week, you'll start hearing a lot from me in the media. Little audiences, big audiences, I don't care, as long as I gain two more ears every single time and be able to tell this story and get people more aware of what's going on. So just, I guess, look at the book. On Amazon, Barnes & Noble, there's four different books that you can get. The Tylenol Mafia, Marketing Murder in Johnson & Johnson by Scott Bartz. You can, that's the encyclopedia of every single thing, from college roommates to everything else in this whole dilemma here. You've got Timers, T-Y-M-U-R-S. That is the code word the FBI used for the murders. Timers is a shortened version, 115 pages, just about the investigation alone. You have Tylenol Man, who's the wrongfully accused in this and why. And you have Timers NYC, which is the story I was telling you earlier about the 1986 death that just puts a nail in the coffin of this whole thing, that shows that it was all in the distribution channel. This is all Johnson & Johnson's liability from the death of a girl with triple sealed packaging. So, TylenolMurders.com, it's not, it's been sitting on idle for a year. That'll be up and running, I hope, by next week. I was just kind of keeping a low key until I start an interview campaign next month, and looking to start campaigning and getting people interested in the story and possible documentary. So that is the goal, getting people to understand it. And I thought that maybe, you know, a movie form might help people a little bit better than 600 pages. So just big things going on. We'll have it all unsealed soon, and we will expose these people for the criminals that they are.
And, you know, Michelle, one statement you made last night was that there probably are a lot more people that were killed with these capsules than we are aware of, because they might not have reported it, or might have thought it was a heart attack or whatever. So there probably weren't just the seven. Am I correct on that?
You are correct on that. We have found with the chances of just the people that did die alone, that there had to be a minimum of 300 tainted bottles out there on the shelves at the time of death, just because of the chances of these folks that did die and the way that it worked out.
And then you have the collusion, the alleged collusion of the media and J&J to and probably law enforcement, to be able to withhold
the truth.
Definitely
law enforcement. Definitely law enforcement. And you have your FDA commissioner who goes on to work for Johnson & Johnson. So right after all of this. So when he ends up getting $33 million from Johnson & Johnson, now as a CEO of a Johnson & Johnson group chairman, Wayne Nelson at the time. But anyway.
This story is huge.
Company.
This story is huge. Thank you so much, Michelle Rosen, for joining us today. Amazing program. Thank you so much. We wish you the best. Don't stop. We'll be supporting you here at the Power Hour, and I encourage all other talk show hosts to do the same thing. Thank you so much, Michelle.